If you're a talk radio junkie like me, you might assume that the programming is free. Commercial advertisers pay for the production costs and staff salaries. Well, that's true for most radio talk shows, but not for Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is listener-supported. We rely on you to pay for the production, salary, and airtime costs for this worldwide outreach. Hi, this is Todd Wilkin, asking you to consider making a tax-deductible gift to Issues Etc. today. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or you can donate by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio. The address? LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Remember, unlike other talk radio shows, Issues Etc. needs your financial support. We depend on you for the continuation and expansion of Issues Etc. Thanks for your consideration. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Dr. Rod Rosenblatt joins us not just for the next 45 minutes, but we're going to be doing a daily series with him on one of the simplest but most profound, that is, most pervasive teachings of Holy Scripture. Usually it's called something like the exclusive claims of Jesus Christ. Jesus says things. He actually says things like, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. It's an exclusive claim. He is saying, in essence, I am the only way, the only truth, the only life. Now, the 16th century reformers heard passages like this, and they summarized it with one of those great solas of the Reformation. You've heard of those? Solo meaning alone. There's grace alone, faith alone, scripture alone. And then the one without which the others really make very little sense, Christ alone. That's the basis of our conversation, our ongoing conversations with Dr. Rod Rosenblatt of the White Horse Inn. And to kick it off, we're going to be talking about Christ alone in the Scriptures. Now, I want your input, your questions, and your comments. Our call-in number for the remainder of this hour of Issues Etc. live this Monday, July the 12th, 1-877-623-6943. 877-623-MYIE. You can email us, talkback@issuesetc.org, talkback@issuesetc.org, Twitter us @issuesetc. Why would we begin with Christ alone in the Scriptures? Well, where do we learn of this? Where do we hear words from Christ like, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me? Or passages where Jesus himself, if you remember the road to Emmaus, where the two disciples after Jesus' resurrection are walking and they meet this man, they do not know it is Jesus, and he opens their minds to understand the Scriptures, and he explains from all of the Scriptures, in this case the Old Testament, how they all bear upon him. And they say, did not our hearts burn within us when he opened our hearts to understand those Scriptures, to find Christ there? That's why we begin with Christ in the Scriptures, because that's where Christ begins. Now, before we bring on Dr. Rod Rosenblatt, our Issues Etc., Book of the Month for July, is a great resource. I cannot recommend it highly enough. It's called Law and Gospel, How to Read and Understand the Bible. It's actually a rather old work, about 150 years old, but it really is a simple explanation of the key to reading the Bible to find Christ. God speaks two great words in Holy Scripture. The word of law, which shows you your sin, and the word of the gospel, which shows you Jesus Christ and his perfect obedience as your substitute. And when the Bible is read this way, then the Bible is thoroughly understood, and the Bible is opened on every page to reveal Christ in the Scriptures. That's why I recommend this book, Law and Gospel, How to Read and Understand the Bible. You can find out more about it at our website, issuesetc.org. In fact, I think you'll find a link to it on every page of the website, issuesetc.org. Or, I urge you, call Concordia Publishing House and order this book, Law and Gospel, How to Read and Understand the Bible. Their toll-free number, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. The book you ask for is called Law and Gospel, How to Read and Understand the Bible. Now, we're going to be talking with Dr. Rod Rosenblatt about Christ alone in the Scriptures, dealing with several important passages. I mentioned one of them in just a moment here. I invite your questions and comments. 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MY-I-E. You can email us, talkback@issuesetc.org, or Twitter us at @issuesetc. A little bit later in our series with Dr. Rod Rosenblatt, we'll be doing it over the course of several days. We're not only going to talk about Christ in the Scriptures, but also we're going to talk about law and gospel. Those subjects that are issues, et cetera, Book of the Month for July deals with. We're also going to talk about the attacks that are mounted and have been mounted against Christ's exclusive claims. You hear people say things like, all roads lead to God. Now, can you believe that? And the fact that Christ says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me at the same time. You hear people say, well, your truth is your truth is my truth, and never the twain shall meet. Well, if there is no objective truth, then there is no truth to the claim that Jesus makes about himself being the only way, truth, and life. So we'll deal with some of those theological attacks against Christ alone, and then we'll defend in the latter part of our series with Dr. Rod Rosenblatt. We will defend this teaching, Christ alone. Even though it doesn't necessarily need a defense, it's so replete in Scripture. When Jesus opens the Bible for his disciples, he does it not only for his disciples, but also for his opponents. He does it pointing them to the center of that Bible. He says, these are the Scriptures that testify of me. If you search the Scriptures and therein you think you have eternal life, if you would have that eternal life, then you will find me in those Scriptures. This is a remarkable claim. It's an expansive claim. Jesus is actually saying that the whole of the entire Old Testament is, in essence, a testimony to him and his saving work. And if you think about the other passages that Jesus, where he makes these claims with his opponents, he says, in effect, to those who are reading Moses or the Old Testament law, if you are not reading Moses and finding me, then you're not really reading Moses. Joining us to talk about Christ alone in the Scriptures, Dr. Rod Rosenblatt, professor of theology at Concordia University, California. He's co-host of the radio program, The White Horse Inn, and he's author of the booklet, Christ Alone. Rod, welcome back.
Thanks, Todd.
Let's go to that big famous passage where Jesus meets these two disciples on the road to Emmaus. They don't know who he is. But he does a crash course in Old Testament theology for them. Talk about that.
They were discouraged, depressed. The Messiah, they thought they had found, and then he'd gotten killed. And all of a sudden, he's walking amongst them saying, why are you so depressed? And in the midst of that conversation, Luke tells us, beginning with Moses and the prophets, he showed how all the Scriptures bore witness of him. He believed that he was the major subject of the Old Testament. And usually if somebody believes something like that, they belong, you know, in a mental ward of some kind. But it looks like from the biblical evidence that he actually saw what the Old Testament was about. It was all about the promise of the Messiah. And those people who thought they had found the Messiah were correct. The part they didn't get was that the Messiah was going to die.
And there's another passage I want to start with as well, and that is from John's Gospel, the first chapter, where that even his own disciples understand that the Moses and the prophets apply to this man that they have found, Jesus of Nazareth. And I'm thinking here in particular about Philip saying to Nathaniel, we found the one the Bible's about.
Yes. On the basis of the way he talked and especially the miraculous acts that he performed, they were coming inductively to a correct conclusion. All of those things were prophesied by Isaiah. When he comes, you know, the blind will see and the deaf will hear and the lame will walk and the poor will have good news preached to them. And they had, by watching and listening, said, this is he. This is the one for whom we've waited. They were correct.
So we're not just talking about the claim of one man, or whether or not those truth claims can be verified. We can do that later in our series. We're really talking about how we approach the Bible itself, aren't we?
Yeah, we really are. It's got a plot line to it. Years and years ago, I remember Christians, pastors talking about the red thread of the Bible. And I don't hear that much anymore, but what they were getting at was that the person and work of Christ can be traced through the Scriptures from beginning all the way to the end, and that to find the sense of Scripture or the meaning of the Scripture was to look for that red thread, the promise. And the promise was associated with the coming of the Deliverer, the Divine One. Bless those guys for talking like that when I was a kid, because I think that we're weak, or we're left out of the conversation unless somebody is doing that theme for us.
Rod, I was listening earlier to a fellow Lutheran pastor down at the big shindig they're having in Houston, Texas. He was making a presentation or a Bible class or something like that in the midst of the LCMS convention.
Are you attending that?
No.
I was just
listening in.
And
he described the Bible, it really struck me, he described the Bible as the instruction manual. I think he even said at one point, the rule book. And it sounded an awful lot like the way evangelicals approach the Bible. What's wrong with that?
Yeah, it isn't as if you can't take that sort of an approach to it, but the text itself, like the text from Emmaus, or Jesus saying to his contemporaries, you search the Scriptures because you think that in them you have life, but it's they which bear witness of me. The text itself should correct that. It isn't that you don't find the book of Proverbs in the Bible. It's there. But the question is that the central message of the whole book? And according to Jesus, it isn't. It isn't tips for happy living, or it isn't primarily the sort of thing that helps you to get along in life. He didn't talk like that. He talked as if he were the subject of it.
Well, let's take a break, and when we come back, we'll continue the first part of our daily series with Dr. Rod Rosenblatt, Christ Alone in the Scriptures. I'm Todd Wilkins. Stay tuned. Issues Etc. is listener-supported. That means we rely on you for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. Please consider making a tax-deductible gift to Issues Etc. today. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio and send it to LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Thanks for your support.
Wouldn't it be great if more of your fellow parishioners listened to Issues Etc.? Well, here's an easy way for you to publicize Issues Etc. at your church. Go to the support page of our website, issuesetc.org, and you'll find a short paragraph to include in your weekly church bulletin. Copy and paste the text for your church secretary or pastor to include each week in the Sunday bulletin. The bulletin blurb is updated weekly. issuesetc.org. Stay connected. issuesetc.org.
Putting Christ back into Christian radio, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Pushing Kenya to promote abortion.
This is a special commentary from the Susan B. Anthony List, named for the suffragette who was proudly pro-life.
Abortion is currently restricted in Kenya. However, in August, voters in that country will go to the polls to vote on a new constitution which contains a significant pro-abortion provision. The Constitution, if approved, would allow abortions in cases where the mother's emotional well-being is deemed a factor, thus allowing abortion on demand for the first time ever in Kenya. Not only is the Kenyan government promoting this new pro-abortion constitution, but so is the United States. The Obama administration has sent $10 million to help finance the campaign for the Constitution.
This is Marjorie Dannenfelser, president of the Susan B. Anthony List, inviting you to join us in our battle for life. For more, go online to sba-list.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. Dr. Rod Rosenblatt is our guest. Part one of a daily series with him on Christ alone. Today, Christ alone in the Scriptures. When we went to the break, Rod, you were talking about how we can terribly misread the Bible. And this is quite common among pop American evangelicals, that the Bible is read as instructions or a book for better living, higher living, something along those lines. If you don't read it the way that Jesus instructs us to, looking for his person, the saving work as the center, what do you make the Bible into?
Well, the answer is anything and everything. It's amazing the breadth of interpretations you can go to, but it usually goes to something, at least in the North American scene, it goes to something like the self-help, little pieces of Proverbs, or a verse here and there that have to do with wise living, and that the Bible is somehow about that, to help us to get along. In earlier days, there was a philosophical position called eudaimonism, and eudaimonism traced back before New Testament times. It had a history in Greek philosophy. Basically, what it said was that God exists in order to meet our needs. Lewis gets at this in Screwtape Letters, where he is encouraging the minor devil, head devils, encouraging the minor devil to talk about Christianity and this, or Christianity and that, Christianity and he said, you'll accomplish your goal.
Someone might say, well, Rod, the Bible certainly does testify of Jesus, but that's more of its evangelistic focus. That's for people who are first coming to the faith. But for those of us who believe in Jesus Christ, it is essentially, isn't it, the manual for the Christian life?
Yeah, that is a really common position. And it's, you pay all sorts of hell trying to pry somebody loose from it. The thing that is so difficult about that is that the text itself should correct it. If we keep seeing ourselves for the sinners that we are, then we should be pointed back to the answer that he himself said he provided for us and in our place in his death and resurrection. It isn't that there aren't ethical maxims. There are ethical maxims in the New Testament, but they're not the center of the thing. The center of the thing is our failure to live up to the ethical maxims, either of what Scripture says or of what we know ourselves. The law is intended primarily to break us of hope in the law.
Does it strike you as odd that whether it is among pop American evangelicals or kind of the mainline liberal left of Christianity, they're both reading the Bible kind of the same way? As a kind of a little life lessons?
Yeah, and it can go all the way from trivial, that is, in my particular individual life, all the way to claims of massive social justice or whatever. But the thing that they share in common is that the Bible has to do with instructions as to how you individually or as a culture, can make things better and should. And if that is correct, then everything that Paul wrote about the gospel in the New Testament is off base.
You write that this is not a natural, the way we naturally read Holy Scripture. That is, with Christ at its center and a message of sin and grace on each and every page. You say that Christ must open our minds to understand the Bible this way. What do you mean?
Well, the Reformers said that there were several ramifications of the fall in Genesis 3. And one of those was that the mind was darkened. Paul speaks of it later on. That the mind was darkened such that we are nowhere near where our first parents were in seeing theologically what is the case. We don't have that ability anymore, and in fact, it's even worse. That is, if it is laid before us, we're hostile to it. We are not the type of creatures who just see what is true and follow it. Not in this case. We don't see what is true, first of all, and then if and when we do, we don't like it. The fact that righteousness can't come from within us, not real righteousness, but is going to have to be gifted to us, is repulsive.
How is that gift delivered? How is that, first of all, the opening of our minds to understand Scripture in this way delivered to us?
Only from the promises themselves, from the telling of the story. I used the verse from the disciples on the road to Emmaus. He opened their eyes to understand the Scriptures, but it's not as if that's the only reference in the Bible to that sort of thing. Luther pressed this again and again, that we would need divine grace to even get the message, let alone bend to it. This was going to have to be done from on high, because we do not anymore, this side of the fall, have the inclination to do it. We're against it.
And someone might say, well, the picture you're painting here is a coercive God. Doesn't he come to us with reasonable proposals to which we can reasonably consider?
And he comes to us with reasonable proposals, but we don't have that ability in this case to have reason guide us. If necessary, we'll junk reason in order to say no to it. And we're all in that boat. There's nobody exempt.
Let's see what Steve has to say. He's calling from his car. Thanks for waiting, Steve.
Oh, not a problem. Hey, I was listening to the conversation, and it occurred to me that I think a lot of Christians, we say, oh, Christ justifies us, but then we turn around and we'll say, well, but we're responsible for our sanctification. And so we turn it into, okay, how do I make myself more holy? And isn't the point that we can't even do the second? We can't do the first. We can do the second? And that's part of the kind of our problem is we think we can do it.
Thank you, Steve.
I agree. And that's really a description of a lot that goes on in evangelicalism. The gospel gets you started, but then after that, you're on your own steam. But the pastor will help you with little tips and tidbits to help you to do it. And the Bible isn't that optimistic about, even after our conversion, how things will go. My evangelical students used to be just shocked when I would say, look, the best description of the Christian life is in Romans chapter 7, where Paul says, that which I would do, I don't, and that which I hate, I'm always doing, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from the body of this death? And they were just shocked to have a Christian take that dim a view of our abilities. But this business, if Luther was correct, it's grace in the beginning, and it's grace in the middle, and it's grace at the end, or else. There are only two alternatives.
We've done this often as we've talked with you, Rod, but I want you to describe where this kind of reading Jesus as part of, but not the center of, Holy Scripture, reading the Bible as a manual for self-improvement, and the onus for that self-improvement largely placed upon me and my efforts, where does this finally land a person?
Well, it depends on I think, the psyche. To the person who's getting it, it drives them to despair, darkness, and despondence, and that's understandable. The law is an awful killer. Then, if a person just reads it very lightly, you just look for the next tip tomorrow, you know, and say, I'm sure I'll be the better for it. I'll take a look at the Bible, and I'm sure it'll help me out, make my life better than it would have been otherwise. There are whole groups like the Jehovah's Witnesses who have a high view of the inspiration of the Bible and miss Christ. Or think of Jefferson, Thomas Jefferson. He was so repulsed by the miracles that he literally cut them out of his copy of the Bible and left the morals.
Then, with about a minute before we take a break, Rod, it sounds as though maybe what we need, the case we should have made at the beginning, is that the Bible is not a magical book. It can be misread, misunderstood, and, if you will, mispreached.
Sure. At the lower level, we can through the recommendations as to how, like Adler, how to read a book in an outward way, it's possible for us to sort of get the plot line of it. It takes some work, but it can be done. But the Reformers thought that wasn't enough. When they talked about theological knowledge of Christ, it had to do with saving knowledge, or it had to do with facing that all of one's own efforts were as naught compared with what the commandments and the God of the Bible commands or demands, but that we would have to have someone rescue us because we never, never, never in 10 lifetimes were going to be able to satisfy what it commanded of us. That's what they were interested in, was a theological knowledge of the person of Christ and his work.
Dr. Rod Rosenblatt is our guest, starting a daily series with him today on Christ Alone. Today we're talking about Christ alone in the Scriptures. He's professor of theology at Concordia University, California, co-host of the radio program The White Horse Inn, author of the booklet Christ Alone. When we come back, it's kind of off-putting. I mean, Rod said at the beginning of our conversation that someone who says, I'm the only way of salvation, is either it or he's a lunatic. And this kind of Jesus doesn't necessarily appeal to the masses. We'll talk about that after this.
Think big screens belong in the movie theater, not at church? Think garage bands should stay in the garage, not be jamming in front of the altar? Hey, we do too. Come join us at St. Paul Lutheran Church of Hamel, Illinois, for services that are reverent and relevant, vibrant and traditional. Divine service on Saturday at 6 p.m., on Sunday morning at 7:45 and 10, with Sunday school and Bible class in between at 9. Join us. Not a big screen or garage band in sight. Promise.
How can a proper distinction between God's law and God's gospel help you better understand God's word? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for July is Law and Gospel, How to Read and Apply the Bible. You can purchase Law and Gospel by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040, or browse before you buy at issuesetc.org. Law and Gospel, How to Read and Apply the Bible by C.F.W. Walther.
Christ-centered, cross-focused, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Would you like to share something you've heard on Issues Etc. via email, Facebook, Twitter, or text message? We've made it easy for you. Just go to the Listen On Demand page of our website, issuesetc.org, and click Share This. You'll find almost 50 ways to share Issues Etc. audio. We love our on-demand listeners. Old Theology, New Technology, issuesetc.org. Go to the Listen On Demand page and click Share This.
Have you ever wanted to know about the origins of Issues Etc.? Did you know church leaders were opposed to teaching the laity Reformation theology? Check out our new YouTube video, You Can't Teach Lay People Theology, issuesetc.org, and click support, Equipping the Priesthood of All Believers. Watch the short YouTube video, You Can't Teach Lay People Theology, today. Just go to the support page of our website, issuesetc.org.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me.
We're talking about Christ Alone in the Scriptures, part one of our daily series on Christ Alone with Dr. Rod Rosenblatt. He's professor of theology at Concordia University, California, co-host of the radio program The White Horse Inn, and author of the booklet Christ Alone. I invite your questions or comments in the last 10 minutes of this first part with him. 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. You can email us talkback at issuesetc.org or send us a tweet at issuesetc. Rod, before we leave this part of the conversation behind and talk about how unpopular a Jesus who claims to be the only way, truth, and life actually can be in this world. Someone says, look, I go to church on Sunday morning. The church that I've landed at says out on the marquee, a Bible-believing church, Bible-based. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, heck, the guy who preaches on Sunday morning, he quotes the Bible. He's holding a Bible in his hand. A lot of times he's reading directly from the Bible. Is that enough?
Well, no, it's not enough. But first of all, I want to say thanks to the guy for at least being on that page. It separates him away from old Protestant liberalism. We hammer away at those who misuse the text of the Bible. There aren't that many left in the Western world who believe the Bible has much to say about anything. If he's in the pastoral office, it could be that his theological education is still redeemable to the good of the sheep. That is to start with that high view of Scripture and then go to particular ways in which the center of it is found from the text itself. So basically, there's a lot worse than that. On the other hand, the Jehovah's Witnesses, again, they have a very high view of their inspiration of the Bible, and they miss Christ. And what we're looking for here is not just the literal reading of verses, though that's a great start, but it's not enough, what philosophers call a necessary but not sufficient condition. What we're looking for is Christ in a particular way, that is, in his dying. We're looking for bleeding, suffering, death of that individual man and whether it accomplished what the Bible says it accomplished. And until we get to that, we're not getting to the preaching of Christ or the preaching of the cross. That's what we're looking for. What happened then, and are you sure that it does what you say that it did?
You realize, of course, Rod, how utterly rare that kind of, I call it Christ-centered, cross-focused preaching is nowadays, don't you?
Yeah, I do, and I can feel with the sheep. That is, where do I find this in my city? And the answer today is, it might be tough. I'm sorry that's the case. It's like with the old Protestant liberalism. It was like a flood over the country, and to find a pastor who was actually doing what he was called to do was rare. It's hard to find a church. At White Horse Inn, people imagine that we have a Rolodex of these in given cities of the U.S. Of course, we don't. We don't have such a Rolodex. But people will call sort of desperately saying, we just moved to Edina, Minnesota. Is there a confessional Lutheran church there?
And you say?
Don't know.
So even if it says Lutheran or some other kind of a confessional branch of the Reformation outside, doesn't necessarily guarantee that Christ is preached there?
I wish that were true, but it doesn't. Even 20-some years ago when we started the White Horse Inn, I could say, go to your Yellow Pages, look under L for Lutheran, find the Missouri Synod, and I'll guarantee you what that guy's going to do when the service starts. He's going to be opening to either page 5 or 15, and he will do that on every Sunday. That is no more true now than fly, but it was within your lifetime and mine, it was.
So it sounds like what you're saying here is that what we've lost, what we need to regain, is simply to follow Christ in the way he read the Bible.
Yeah, the text itself will guide us to solid ground.
Is this also the way that the apostles, I mean, looking at what goes on from the Gospels into the New Testament, is this the way the apostles, Peter, Paul, and the others, were reading the Bible and proclaiming it too?
Finally, but boy, it took a long time for guys like Peter to get there, because what you found was, even after the resurrection, they were hiding in the upper room and had their doubts of all kinds. Probably Thomas is the quintessential example. After Pentecost, things look different. Then they're confident that actually what the Old Testament had said about the dying Messiah was actually the case. It was true, and he was risen, go. But it took a while. One of the reasons Lewis said that he came to believe the gospel accounts was the muddled example of the disciples and writers was not fixed up. It was left there in all of its, muddiness. And to him, that was strong evidence that this was a pretty solid text.
Somebody says, Rod, look, what you say may be true, but if what you say is true, then that means then every sermon's going to end up kind of sounding like Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. By grace you've been saved through faith.
Well, in a way, yes, but if the pastor's using the church year and has been trained to always get to the center, that is that red thread, then the Bible itself will provide for him this fantastic cornucopia of different texts, Old and New Testament, from which to preach that solid message. It isn't just repeating the same thing week after week after week because of the breadth of the library we call the Bible.
Finally then, Rod, what does it mean to read Christ at the center of all the Scripture?
Well, first of all, it's to believe what he said, that he was actually telling us the truth about who he was and what he did. So it's not arbitrary. It comes up from the text, not down from the top. But he spoke as if he was here to deliver. His life mission was to die, and to die for a particular reason, for our good who needed it. That's the message that comes up from the text. I'm not here primarily to teach. I'm not here primarily to establish, a kingdom like you're used to a kingdom. I'm here. I'm headed for a cross. You don't understand why. You will later on, but right now you won't. But I'm here. I've come, and my reason is to give my life.
Dr. Rod Rosenblatt is professor of theology at Concordia University, California. He's co-host of the radio show The White Horse Inn, and he's author of the booklet Christ Alone. Thank you very much. Look forward to our next conversation, Rod.
You bet, Todd. Thanks.
We'll continue our series on Christ Alone tomorrow with Dr. Rod Rosenblatt talking about today's theological attacks on the teaching of Christ Alone, and there are a lot of them. Rod said it several times, up from the text, out of the text. This is very important. You have your Bible sitting on your shelf, you carry it with you, you take it to church. You open it up and you memorize. After you've read it enough, you're going to memorize the Bible, aren't you? And there it is, planted in your heart. How do you understand, how do you apply and understand what you have there in the Bible? Let the text instruct you, and let the man who stands at the center of that Bible, Jesus himself, show you how he reads the Bible. Can you do any better than Jesus to read the Bible the way he read it? And is there any doubt when at this crucial moment, going back to that Luke 24 passage, at this crucial moment where he meets these two disciples who don't even believe he's alive anymore, they think he's dead, that he opens their mind to show them that in all of the Scriptures, the Christ must suffer and die, and on the third day rise. He could have taught them anything in that moment, but he teaches them about his death and his resurrection for a sinful world. And he shows it to them from each and every page of the Bible. Is there a better way to read, to preach, to proclaim, to pray, to understand, to study Holy Scripture than the way Jesus does with his own disciples? No, there really isn't. And I'll tell you this much. It's a word of warning, if you will. You read your Bible, you study it, you carry it with you to church. Over time, you just end up memorizing whole big chunks of it. But you think that therein you're going to find more about you than about Jesus? More about the Christian than the Christ? You can have the whole thing memorized. And if Jesus is just a sidelight, or a footnote, or even a major character, but not the heart and center of Holy Scripture, that book may give you good advice. It may encourage you at moments. It may help you feel a little bit better about yourself. But it cannot save you if you refuse to see what Jesus is pointing to there in those Scriptures. He says, You search the scriptures because therein you think you find eternal life. And you know what? Life is there in those scriptures. But you got to look in the right place. He says these are the scriptures that testify of me. I'm Todd Wilkin. Talk with you again tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.